Okay, let's get cracking. Today we are finishing off the 20th parak of Maseches Shabbos, the parak Chaf Mishnah Hey, and then we're going to start the 21st parak of Maseches Shabbos with parak Chaf Aleph Mishnah Aleph. Now, although straw is usually muktzah on Shabbos, because generally speaking, straw is used for fuel, which can't be used on Shabbos, the Mishnah here in Perek Chaf Mishnah is going to discuss and mention various cases in which moving straw would be allowed on Shabbos. Says the Mishnah, Hakash she'al gabe amita, if straw is on a bed and you want to fluff up your bed a little bit. In those days, they didn't have cotton necessarily in their beds. They would use straw to fluff up their beds. Says the Mishnah, Lo yina'ano biyado, you're not allowed to move it with your hand because it is mukta after all. Straw, generally speaking, was mukta. Ela mina'ano biguf, but he may move the straw with his body. For example, when he's lying down, he may shift it with his shoulders. That's done with a shino, and therefore, because it's being moved in an abnormal, atypical way, you're allowed to move it in this unusual way on Shabbos. However, says the Mishnah, v'mehoya ma'echal behema, if the straw was set aside before Shabbos as animal food, right? Not only is straw used for a fuel for a fire, which you can't use it for on Shabbos, but maybe you want to feed it to your animal, and if you set it aside for that before Shabbos, o shahoya alav kar o sadin, or if there was a pillow or sheet on it when Shabbos began, clearly indicating that it was going to be used as a mattress on Shabbos, minano biado, then in that situation you may move it even with your hand, since the straw was designated clearly and prepared for a permissible use on Shabbos, it is not muktzah, and it may therefore may be used on Shabbos itself. Now, the next discussion in this mishnah, as we finish off the parak, is going to be about a clothes press that consists of two large, heavy boards, one on top of the other. Now, if you look in the mishnah, many of the mishnayos have pictures that will help make this case a little simpler and easier to understand. But basically, there are four rods that were extending upward from the four corners of the lower board. They pass through four corresponding holes in the corners of the upper board, allowing the upper board to be lowered into place on the lower board. Now, the garments then would be pressed. They'd be laid out on the lower board, and when the upper board is lowered onto them, that's when they would be pressed, and that's when you would be taking care of your clothing. Now, when the upper board is low enough to press the garments, pegs would be inserted into the openings in the rods to keep the upper board in its appropriate and proper position. Based on this introduction, says the continuation of our Mishnah, Mach Beish Shel Bali Batim Matirim, we may open this householder's press by removing the holding pegs and raising the upper board if the pressed clothing are needed for Shabbos. Of a low kovshin, but certainly you're not allowed to press garments on Shabbos in the first place because they are not going to be ready until after Shabbos, and you're not allowed to prepare on Shabbos for after Shabbos. However, says the Mishnah, Vishal Kofs in Lo Yigaba, but when it comes to the press that were used by professional launderers or laundromats, the halacha is that you're not even allowed to touch these presses. You can't even touch the press even to open it. The boards of a launderer's press are pressed together so tightly that separating them is very similar to the malacha of soser, of destroying, and therefore you can't remove the pegs or even touch them at all on Shabbos itself. Now, this previous Tana was of the opinion that opening a launderer's press is always forbidden, is never allowed, without any exceptions, but here Rabbi Yehuda is going to give us a little bit of an exception. Says the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says, Im haya mutar me'erev Shabbos, if this professional press was partially open before Shabbos, meaning the pegs in the rods were somewhat loose before Shabbos, matiras kula v'shomto, then you're allowed to open it completely by taking out the pegs and removing the garment. Since the press is already partially open, removing the pegs the rest of the way certainly does not resemble this malacha of sosa. It certainly doesn't look like this malacha of destroying on Shabbos. Continuing now with Perek Chaf Aleph Mishnah Aleph, as we begin to discuss some of the exceptions regarding the halacha of muktzah. As we discussed previously, muktzah means various items that were not prepared from before Shabbos that have no purpose or use on Shabbos itself. A classic example of that would be stones or sticks. There's no purpose for them unless you prepare them from before Shabbos. Based on this, says the Mishnah, no till Adam es binova heaven biyado, a person may not hold his son who has a stone, rather may hold his son who has a stone in his hand, if the son wants to be held by his father. Now, although the child is carrying a stone, which is mukta, the father is allowed to pick him up because the child might otherwise become sick, and his father is not holding the stone in his own hands. We assume children have the status of a chola, of a sick person potentially, and therefore a father has the ability to pick him up even though he's holding something which would otherwise be mukta. And a person may move a basket with a stone inside it if the stone is needed to fill a hole in the basket and is therefore considered to be part of the basket, right? The stone must have been attached firmly to the basket from before Shabbos, and that's the halacha in terms of a basket as well. Even though a stone is itself mukta, and anything that is on would be considered a basis ladavar ha'aser, which would make it a base, which would be aser, which would be not allowed to be moved. But here as well, it's part of the basket, and therefore you can certainly move the basket on Shabbos. The next case that we're going to discuss is regarding truma that is tame, truma that is not pure, which would be mukta because no one, not even a kohen, is allowed to eat truma that is tame. Says the Mishnah based on this, metaltel and truma tame ima tahora ima chulin. You're allowed to move truma that is tame together in the same basket with truma that is tahor or with chulin, which again is regular types of food, because again the assumption is that the truma that is tame, which may not be eaten, is considered insignificant, unimportant, is considered tafel with respect to the other food which may be eaten. So again, the halach of a basis is that when you have an item, whether it's a basket, whether it's a table that has a significant mukta item on it, if there are other significant mukta items on it as well, so that removes the significance of the mukta item. So again, we have basket. The basket has truma temeya, which is a truma that is impure, which is mukta, which you're not allowed to touch or move really on Shabbos. But here we have a situation where you have either chulin regular food or tahor or pure truma, both of which can be eaten, both of which are not mukta, and therefore they override the mukta status of the truma temeya, and they don't allow this basket from becoming a basis ledavar ha'aser. Now the Mishnah is going to conclude by dealing with the case of meduma. Now, meduma is a mixture, like we learned earlier, mostly in Maseches Truma, which is a mixture of Truma and Chulin. Now, meduma may not be eaten unless the amount of Chulin in it is at least 100 times more than the Truma in this mixture. Furthermore, a portion that corresponds to the amount of Truma in the mixture must be removed in order to make the mixture permitted. Now, the Mishnah is going to discuss removing this Truma portion on Shabbos. Normally, we say that when it comes to, let's say, Tevel, when you have fruits that were the Truma San Maestro, so the various tithes that it even separated have not yet been separated. Normally we say you cannot separate these things on Shabbos because what you're doing is basically what we refer to as being misaking something. You're fixing something, you're rectifying something, which you cannot do on Shabbos. What we're going to see here is that it's not true. The same halacha does not apply in the same way to meduma, where you're taking out a little bit of the truma from this mixture. It says the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Rabbi Yehuda says, Af malan es hameduma be'achad umeya. We may also remove the truma portion of a mixture in which one part of truma got mixed together with at least 100 sections and 100 pieces of chulin. And although removing truma from a tevel on Shabbos is usur, removing the truma portion from meduma is allowed. And again, the assumption is that it's not necessary to physically separate the truma from this mixture. Even if one just mentally designates a particular section of the mixture as the truma portion, the entire mixture may be eaten, except for the part that it was designated as truma. And Rabbi Yehuda holds that since one is allowed to eat from the mixture without physically removing anything, it's a physical removal on Shabbos is not usur, is not forbidden at all. Have a great day.